a subject of being optimistic. In other words, looking toward the future with hope, not looking toward the future as a pessimist. Now, we know, we learned last week, the difference in being an optimist and a pessimist. An optimist is one that sees the best in everything. A pessimist is one that sees the worst in everything. And so, in the Christian life is the life of optimism. When you have a God like we have, a Lord like we have, and the power of God that He gives to each of us, you can't help but look into the future with hope. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Titus, you don't have to turn there, that we look for a blessed hope. Jesus is coming back, and for us, the children of God, that is a blessed hope. We expect Him soon to return. We also looked at in the book of Hebrews, and the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ Himself, that we look unto Him who's the author, the finisher of our faith, and He Himself, make sure you're right here, I'm going to get real optimistic because this ain't going to work. Amen? Yes, and I will move this thing around and get it right. I love a good fight. But anyway, not with you, AJ. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that towards you. Not a second degree black belt. No, I don't want to. All right. But, you know, we learn in this Christian life to be optimistic because God can do anything. The joy of the Lord is our strength, the Bible says. Jesus endured the cross looking toward the joy. And so things in life that are opposed to us or against us, has it moved on me again, hasn't it? All right, let's do this. Let's do this. Okay, I'm going to mute it, which, believe it or not, check, and then I'm going to undo this. Sheila's going to come, and she's going to pull this out from the top to the back of my shirt. She's got to be making it look so pretty. What? Okay. Now I'm going to lay back up, and we'll not do that. Because it doesn't hang. Yeah, it doesn't hang. Check, 1, 2. Now we've got it. Let's see if I can make it work from right there, if my shirt is not constantly pulling the back of it. Okay, if it moves again, we're going to curse this thing. I'm not real big. Not cussing. I'm not talking about cussing. Cursing, okay? Don't think I was. Okay, now let's see. Let's see where we're at, all right? Get close right there. I have other mics if this one doesn't work, so we're ready for my handheld if I need it, right? Okay, we'll go to handheld if this doesn't get it. Okay, back to where I was at. We're looking to our future with optimism, with hope. We're believing in the future of what God can do in our life because He is God. And so we don't have to have a pessimistic view of things. Now, the world is full of pessimists. I mean, they always see the worst. Oh, no. Woe is me. I remember when I was younger, I remember a cartoon where there's a little cartoon creature. And his favorite words would be, as he walked around, he'd say, oh, worra, worra, worra. Oh, worra, worra, worra. He would be worrying all the time, and he would just be worrying about life. But that's not the life that you and I have as a child of God. If I was depending on you or depending on me, yeah, we might be full of worries. But that's not where our source is, and that's not who we are depending on. We are depending upon God. Everybody say, I am. Depending upon God. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The scripture says in verse 28 of Romans chapter 8, we know. Everybody said, I know. See, when the scripture says we know, you should say, I know. Amen. Everybody say, I know. I know. When scripture says we know, we say, I know. And verse 28, I know that all things work together for good to them, or in our application, to you, to me, to good to them or me or you, that love God. How many loves God? Say amen. So we're already talking about you. To those that love God and to those who are called according to His purposes. And so as I walk out my plan of God and the purposes of God in my life, I know that whatever happened is going to be something good. And so notice, all things work together for my good. If I see something that looks difficult, looks hard, it looks like a certain kind of application out there that's going to be strange for you and I to walk into, something hard for us to do, those kind of things, doesn't matter, because everything is going to work out to our good. It's what Scripture teaches us as children of God. All things work together. Everybody say, all things work together for my good. So no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, no matter what I touch, what I feel, all things are working together for, you know, based on what we walk in faith, and we walk not by sight, but by our faith, it's going to happen good for us. Now, we looked at that last week. Now, one other verse of Scripture, look with me real quick, Mark chapter 11, and then we're going to head to some new territory, but let me get you this one. Mark chapter 11, and you ought to keep your bookmark there most all of the time. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Scripture says, Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Here again is the basis for everything I'm going to say. If you don't have this basis, you're going to go the wrong direction. The basis is our faith is in God. Everybody say faith in God. Faith in God. We have faith in God. The margin of the Bible says have the faith of God. In the Cambridge edition, it says have the faith of God. But here in the King James Version, it says have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, everybody say, I'm a whosoever. That's you. Talking about you. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And so then, if I'm walking with an optimistic view of life, I'm going to always say that all things work together for my good because I'm called according to the Lord's purposes. I love him. Romans 8, 28. I'm going to always say that. And as I say that, literally, I'm bringing that to pass in my life. Now, if I'm not an optimist, if I'm a pessimist, if I'm a person that's always looking, you know, down and out, things never going to work, nothing good ever happens for me. Me and my family, we always had it hard. We live in a hard time. It's a rough economy. It's bad this. Health is, if I say all of those things, you know what I'm doing? I'm prophesying those things into my life. I'm speaking those things into my life. And Jesus said this. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said that I would have whatever that I say. In verse 24, he said, therefore I send you what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And so our whole prayer power, our whole faith, everything we have is based on believing God, believing his word, and speaking his word into our lives. Now, based on that, think about it in this light of being optimistic. Last week, I gave you just one sentence, one little phrase, which had to do with, I promise myself to be strong, that nothing can disturb my peace of mind. Everybody say, I promise myself. Now, you're not promising God. You're not promising me. You're not promising somebody else. Remember now, you got to get yourself right before you're going to be any good to the rest of us. Turn to the person beside of you and say, you got to get yourself right before you're being good to the rest of us. You just do. So I'm going to give you that time. It's not selfish at all. But I'm giving you that time to work on yourself and do what you need to do yourself, and that's okay. Get yourself right. When you get yourself in the right attitude, the right spirit, the right heart, then you know what? We're going to all be able to get along with you a whole lot better. Amen? And you're going to have a much better life. Now, notice, I promise myself to be strong that nothing can disturb my peace of mind. Why did I start with that? Because everything begins up here in your mind. Whatever you're thinking up here is coming out your mouth. Whatever's coming out your mouth, you begin to do. And what you begin to do, what a man sows, that shall also reap, you begin to have. And so it's just a process that works. And so you got to get your mind right. That's a starting place, but just any place you want to be. You're starting with the mind. So we looked at that. We saw in Scripture, the Bible says that we are strong in the Lord in the power of his might. So we have a strong mind, a strong heart, a strong spirit, because the Lord is strong and he is powerful. It is his might and his strength that we depend upon. We saw in Scripture, 2 Timothy 1 and 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of what? Of a sound mind. Everybody say sound mind. I got a sound mind, believe it or not. I got a sound mind. Amen? Then we saw in Isaiah 26, verse 3, that the Bible said that he'll keep you in perfect peace who keeps his mind stayed upon the Lord. I lose my peace when I get my mind off God. Say that with me. Say, I lose my peace when I get my mind off God. That's when it begins to go wrong for you. Keeping your mind on the Lord will give you perfect peace. I mean, get your mind off of God, you know, and you hear what they're saying on the news reports and all this kind of stuff they're talking about, and bad news that comes across, and the newscasters give us, and those kind of things. We hear that. We begin to concentrate on that, meditate on that, think on that, speak that into our lives, act like that so, walk like it so, and it is so in our life. It begins to become our reality. But if I keep my mind on what the word of the Lord says and what God is speaking in my heart and my life and on the future that he has for me and the plans that he's proposed for me, plans that are good that the Lord says he has for us, I keep my mind on those things. I begin to think about those, meditate those, think those, speak those into my life, do those actions that cause those things to come past, and I have that kind of life. It's a great life living for the Lord. Somebody say amen. It is. It is a great life living for the Lord. I am doing my best in life to live to my full potential that the Lord has given me. And Sheila and I, we practice that in our lives because what Jesus died on the cross for us to have is important for you and me to have. And if he thought enough to die for it, to give it to me, I'm going to think enough to live it out and receive it into my life. I want people, I mean, you know, in a godly kind of way, to look at our lives and look at us and envy us. In a godly kind of way, okay? Go back to Genesis chapter 26, and you see that Isaac, the Bible says the people envied him. Why? Because of him, because the blessing of the Lord was on his life. And I'd like to see every one of you live such a life that is so filled with the blessings of God on your life that other people just look at you and say, they just envy you. They envy your peace of mind. They envy your attitude. They envy that smile that's always on your face. I mean, they begin to, you know what it is that we're saying? They begin to want what you got. And the thing about this thing is everybody can have it. Amen? Amen. It's free to everybody. And so that's the life that we're living. The second thing, brand new, second thing is this. If you're going to walk with optimism, make this promise to yourself. I promise myself to talk, everybody say talk, health, happiness, and prosperity to every person I meet. Now, remember, my first principle I talked about last week had to do with what you think. We're going past that now. In fact, we're going to what thinking births. Thinking gives birth to words. And so I get my thinking right first. It birthed words into my life. And therefore, the words that I have are going to be talking of health, physical health, talking of happiness, joy, just having a great time with life, and talking of prosperity, that God supplies all of our needs, and not only our needs, he gives us an abundance of needs. He supplies an abundance for his children. How many believes that? Say amen. And so to every person I meet, why is it important to talk that to every person? You see, if you're going to live this lifestyle out, it is not just something that you have in your own heart, in your life, in your own prayer closet, as good as that is. That's a starting place. That's the delivery ward, you might say. That's a good thing for you to do that. But that's just a starting place. If what you get in church this morning doesn't follow you home today, if what you get in church this morning and what you hear today is not something you speak tomorrow on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if it's not something that comes out of your mouth, out of your heart, out of your spirit the rest of this week, I love you, but you got nothing in church today. See, if quote unquote, if the religion you and I have, quote unquote religion, really don't have it, we have life, but if the religion you say that you and I have only affects us on the inside, never comes on the outside, you don't have nothing on the inside. And so that's why your faith will always interact with others. And you know what? This is a word from the Lord. This is one reason that the government and different agencies of our world and different, you know, things that are out there try to keep Christianity out of so many things. Because they keep your mouth shut when you're working. And keep your mouth shut when you go into the educational facilities that we have. Some good, some not so good. And keep your mouth shut in your interaction out in public square or in our courthouses or in the places that we transit our business all around the world. They can shut you down. It's vitally important that you keep it going out your mouth. Now, the thing is this. We need to speak out of our mouth those things that God has said, as well as those things that when God has said them that we want, that we desire into our future. You are, whether you know it or not, you are speaking your future into existence. Future's not here yet, remember? And as you speak, you are speaking it into existence. Hey, you want to go with us tomorrow? We're going to go do something. I don't know. I hadn't been feeling good lately. I don't believe I'll be able to go. Hey, it ain't tomorrow yet. How do you know? Well, I'm already planning to have a bad day tomorrow. Right? We don't know. I mean, give yourself a little, a day or so anyway. I mean, back it up. If you got the, you know, the blues playing for tomorrow, back it up 5 or 6 hours. Maybe you'll get to feeling better later on this afternoon. Well, I don't know. I doubt it. It's been pretty rough. And what's going to happen? Well, you know, how come you're not out there cutting the grass? Didn't I tell you I didn't think I'd feel like it? Well, I don't. You know, all those kind of things that we just speak into our life. And you got to change the way you speak. Try it on your job sometimes. When the boss, the supervisor, the person in charge of your work comes around you and says, can you do this, this, and that? Say you can't several times and see what happens to you. You think you can handle this job? Well, no, I don't believe I can. In fact, I was about to pass out on the job I'm at. call him as a, you don't say that. They don't want you passing out on a job and having to sue somebody and getting involved in all that kind of stuff. No, they're going to get rid of you. I mean, you know what? What if you can't do the job? You say, well, what if I can't do the job, Pastor? What if I really can't do it? Well, say, so, you know, right now, I'm not able to do that, but with some training, I could. Give me a little bit of time, I believe I could. Put somebody with me. Yeah, I believe I can learn that. I believe I can do that. Sure, sure. And have a little bit of optimism about life, and you'll go places in life. If you don't, you're going to stagnate yourself and kill your life just like it is, and, you know, it's going to be a really pessimistic life. Now, look with me. Remember when we're at Proverbs chapter 4. I want to show you why this is very important, Proverbs chapter 4. I promise myself, everybody say, I promise myself to talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person I meet. I learned several years ago, a number of years ago, my early Christian life. I am not the personality. I love God and I worship God and you know, I praise Him and honor Him and glory, hallelujah, and all this good stuff. I do. But in the public, I always try to let my experience of life speak louder than my, let's say, my religious things that I do. I try to let that, and then I bring in the other things. But sometimes there's times that, and I want that to show. I don't put reverent on my name on business cards. I don't have a pastor tag that I put on the front of my car. In front of our car tag says, Sheila loves Leon. That's what it says on the front. But it don't say pastor, so I get a special place to park or anything like that. I figure that if I am that, people will know it. I figure if I really got the goods, they'll know I got the goods. And if they don't, advertising it probably wouldn't make much difference anyway. But now other people think differently, and that's okay. That's just my philosophy, sort of how I've lived life. But the thing is this, I've been in places sometimes where I've heard people cuss. Now, you know, I know people cuss here and there and do some different stuff like that. And then I've been around a few people, sometimes just really I couldn't stand anymore, and they would say some of these words. I don't like any of the cussing. But the GD stuff, oh, Lord. Oh, no. That will bring a hallelujah right out of my mouth. Not because they said it. Because if they're going to say what they said, as loud as they said what they're going to say, they're going to get some hallelujahs in their ear. You'd be surprised how quick some of those folks get real religious on you right after that. But what gives, let me ask you this, what gives the world the right to spout off their ungodly mouth and you and I stay quiet, shut up on the things? We shouldn't do that. You need to talk this. Everybody say talk it. You need to talk this stuff. Let some people know where you stand. Let some people know who you are. How many got a backbone? Say amen. Amen. Use it. Stand up with it. Be strong with it. Amen. Have some. You know, some respect about yourself, some integrity in your life, some things that you value, things that you stand for, things that you won't walk away from. And let those things be godly things. Now, so I promise to myself I'm going to talk health. I'm going to talk happiness. I'm going to talk prosperity to every person I meet. Now, while I'm talking to them, I'm also talking to me. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my saying. So I'm listening to the words of the Lord. I'm listening to His sayings. Now, verse 21, let them not depart from your eyes. Don't get them out of your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Did anybody see the news report lately? They won a court battle in Texas. There was a school, if I understand it right, this was just a regular secular school, but the cheerleaders had a banner. And you know on the football fields, when you start the football game, how each team runs in under the goalpost on each side. Well, they had put a banner up on their goalpost, and the banner would say things. You know what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Thank God for giving me the victory. I always triumph. Something like that. And then they would run through, the football team would run, and would burst through that banner. Let me say it right, South Carolina. They'd bust through that banner and, you know, just turn that thing wide open. And as they, I know what to do. I just don't always do it. And they rode through there. Just running through that thing. And somebody got mad and said, I don't want to come to a football game and have to see a scripture verse. And so some local judge said, that's right, you shouldn't have to. And banned that thing. No. No more scripture verses. No more running through banners that say, I can do all things through Christ's strength in me. No more saying, God always gives me the victory. None of that. Get rid of it. Well, they kept fighting for that. And they kept winning through the different court levels, and finally they got that reinstated. Thank God. Everybody say, thank God. And they're back out there again, and they're running through that banner one more time. But now, notice what Scripture says, verse 21, don't let them depart from your eyes to keep them as your heart. The world is at work to keep the word out of your heart and out in front of your eyes. That's a literal example there, but there's spiritual things behind that for sure, but there's spiritual things going on in your heart and my heart too. There's things that the devil's trying to do to keep the word out of our lives. And so he says, don't let that happen. Verse 22, why is that? For they are life, the word is, to those that find them, health to all their flesh. Now remember then, if I made a promise to myself that I'm going to talk health, I'm going to talk life to all their flesh, that's talking health. What am I doing? I'm actually speaking the word of God into my heart and speaking the word of God into other people's hearts. And so you know what? In life, when you and I are walking and, you know, interactions with other people, and people say, how are you doing? What's your answer? Great. Let me hear a great out there. One thing we do, we can go to Taekwondo twice a week, and we go and we walk in. One of the first things, you know, Grandmaster Kim, Master Wan will say, how is everybody? You never say, I'm feeling bad and poorly. You don't say that. We all say, fine, sir. Fine, ma'am. Great, sir. Good. We are taught to do that. Why? Because you don't start a class where you're going to have physical exertion with a mouth that's speaking you down. It changes the power of your kicks and of your hits. It changes the power that you have to be in aggression and do the battle that you need to do. Same way spiritually. If you are not talking up the word of God in your life, you are weakening yourself spiritually. And when you meet other people, if you don't, and do it in a nice way, if you don't challenge some other people when you're talking health to other people, you're going to weaken them too. Because have you ever talked to somebody, how are you doing? They say, well, you're not doing so good. What's up? Well, just been going through this, this, and this, and doctor said this, and they said this, and all this stuff's going on, and, you know, I don't know. I said, well, how are you doing today? Well, I'm doing good today. Oh, that's good, isn't it? You're doing good today. You know, we're not talking about tomorrow the next day. Right today, you're doing good. And you know what? Things could change between now and tomorrow. Things could change between the rest of this week. And we love our doctors and nurses, medical profession, but I've heard sometimes we get one diagnosis one day and get another one the next week. And so that's subject to change. There's a lot of things. And you know what? Besides all that, God's on your side and he loves you. And I believe that God will just keep you around here as long as he wants you to be. And I believe that's going to be a long, long time. Well, why can't you just speak things into people's lives? And you know what? When you begin to speak something like that in somebody else's life, you walk away from that experience like this. Well, you know what? I had an ache or pain too, and God's going to do something good for me. You start believing what you said about them as well. And you're speaking it to your own self, your own life. But a person who's an optimist, he's always going to expect the best. He's not going to be the one that say, well, you know what? My uncle, you know, he had that and he died. And my cousin had that and, you know, they've been put on an island for people that can't, you know, interact with other people. And you know, all kind of weird stuff that people say. Just strange activities people have in their life. Well, the thing is this, we're going to speak health. Say, I promise myself to talk health. And so, you know what, if I'm going to say, is there a time not to do that? Hey, if you're experiencing a problem and you need to go to the doctor, you tell your doctor honestly your situation, what's going on, say what's happening. But in the midst of all that, then you say, but you know what, I really believe there's an answer. I believe there's a solution. I believe there's a cure. I believe there's healing. I believe that God is on my side, and I believe everything's going to be all right. So that's what we do. We speak that. And in the midst of that, we see God move in our lives. And we see God move in other people's lives. And why is it anyway? If somebody comes to you and say, how you doing? They say, well, I'm not feeling good. Say, well, you look pretty bad. That's why I asked that. Why you want to do that to somebody? Why you want to talk somebody else down? You know, when you say that, you added your voice to theirs. Two or three of you agreed, and they just got worse. I mean, why you want to do that? Why do you want to talk people down and speak people down all the time? No, talk health into their life. Now, look at Psalms 146. In Psalms 146 and verse 5, a second thing that you need to be talking. And this ought to be a good one. Psalms 146, verse 5. I remember several years ago we went to see a movie, and it was about this little penguin. And I think I cut off here, didn't I? Oh, it wasn't? Okay, all right. And we went and saw this penguin, and his name was Happy Feet. You might remember seeing Happy Feet? And I remember when I first saw him, he'd come out there, and he started dancing just a little bit. And I heard the song I Wish by Stevie Wonder. And I incorporate that one of the songs that we do here now because I like that bass line. But Happy Feet was just dancing, man. He was doing all this stuff that I'm really unable to do. But he was doing all that, but he was happy. He had, and it got into his feet. How many know happiness is more than just deep, I'm happy on the inside, brother? Happiness will first, expose itself in your face. All of a sudden, you begin to smile. Or crack a smile, just barely come out there. Who's the guy that does the song called Smile? Kurt. Yeah. Kurt Franklin. Now he's on the American Bible Channel. But he does a music video called Smile, and you'll just watch that thing. It's about 7 or 8 minutes, and by the time you get to the end of it, you'll be smiling. He even got Steve Harvey smiling. You will be smiling. But smiling changes your life. Being happy changes you. I mean, you can go out in this world sad and disappointed and upset and hurt and broken. And if you're that way, God loves you. God cares about you. And I understand that life sometimes brings those things to all of us. I understand that. But I know right in the midst of that, there's healing of the Lord that he can bring. And he can bring happiness and joy and peace in your life. How many know joy comes in the morning? Everybody say amen. Everybody say, my morning was this morning. Amen. Don't put it in that way. Put it forward. Put it today. And so the joy that of the Lord that he brings to your life, he can bring happiness into your life. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 146, and verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob. Now, how many of you have the God of the Bible? Say amen. So that makes you what? Say it again. You're happy, aren't you? Everybody say, I'm happy. Do you like to say, everybody look at me. Everybody go, I'm happy. Turn to the person beside you. Can you do that? Turn to the person beside you. I'm happy. I'm overflowing with joy. I'm so joyful now, I'm about to blow up. I'm about to burst right now. I am so happy. No, say it like me. Say, I'm happy. How many got a big smile? You were great. Smile at somebody beside of you. I mean, look how funny you look. They look as funny as you do, so, you know. Why not be happy in life? I mean, enjoy yourself. Be happy. I meet happy people all the time. I mean, it's just amazing. Sheila and I will go out and do different things and be somewhere, and people will be looking at us smiling. I said, what you smiling about? What you smiling? How you smiling? Because y'all smiling. Why we smile? We smile because God gives us happiness and joy, and we in love with him and each other, and you too. We love everybody. And so why not have a happy life? How many lives each of you got? How many's got more than one? Nobody, do you? You only got one time around on planet Earth. Now, it's going to last forever in Christ Jesus, but this little human existence is only going to happen once. You only got 1 year, 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, 1 hour, 1 minute right now. And so why wait till tomorrow to start living a life of happiness and joy? Why are you going to wait? Why are you going to wait till I make this happen? Or when I get that new car, I'll really be happy. No? Why you got to wait till then? Why not be happy before then? Why not be happy in whatsoever car you're in? Whatsoever state you're in. Why not be happy whatever's happening? Why can't you even be happy when Clemson just beats the tar out of Clemson? I mean, USC. You like that? Or when USC beats Clemson. Whoa. Oh, Lord. You're happy. He's singing. Oh, he's been down, Lord. Yeah. Woo, we're going to get one of the spirituals for sure, aren't we? One behind you. Uh-oh. But you can be happy anytime. Amen. Why not be happy? Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your life. You only got one. Psalms 146, verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob. And it says, for his help. God helps you. God's on your side. He's for you. He's not against you. He's not out to kill you. He's not out to destroy you. He's not out to cast you into hell tomorrow. He won't just send you to hell if you crack a smile. I love the church I grew up in. It's a good, solid Christian church. I love it. But as in that church, maybe even some in ours. But as in that church, as others as well, there were people that they just thought that serving God was the biggest, hardest road they ever walked in their life. That, you know, that if you ever, in fact, go back, you ever looked at pictures that are like 100 years old? They don't smile in those pictures. You ever notice? Grandma and grandpa be sitting there. Wonder why they didn't smile in those days. Then you'll have grandma and grandma, well, if you lived in that time, you wouldn't have nothing to smile for too. No, because God was the same in that time as he is in this time. Amen. And he's the one that we have our hope in. Amen. The guy is all sad and, you know, discouraged, and he's going to the bank because he couldn't make his payments, and he was headed toward the bank to let him know that, and he was thinking about how sad he was, and all of a sudden he got thinking, I'm about to tell the bank that I can no longer make any of these payments anymore, and I'm sad about it. Why should I be sad? It's going to be heartbreaking to them when I tell them this. I mean, whose hope is in the Lord is God. Somebody said, I'm worried about paying my bills. You don't need to be worried. The person you owe needs to be worried. Well, nobody needs to worry about it. But anyway. So happy is that person whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now listen, if your hope is in this world system, yeah, you're not going to be too happy. If you're hoping as good as this president or the one before him or the next one is, if your hope is in any of our presidents, no, you're not going to be too happy. But if your hope is in God, he far exceeds any of us here on this earth. He can do greater than any of us can do. He says here in this passage that he is a creator, and he is the one that made the heaven and the earth. And so I'm happy in him. What need could I possibly have that he can't take care of? What issue can come against me that he can't overcome? What challenge could I face that I'm not winning in Christ Jesus? Thank God I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. How about you? And be happy about it. See how many people this week you can just totally kill their week by being happy around them. You have some people looking at, what are you smiling for? What's wrong with smiling? Well, there ain't nobody else smiling. What's wrong with smiling? I would love, there's a lot of things I'd like to be known for, some that I'm known for that I wish I wasn't known for, but there's a lot of things I'd like to be known for when I leave this world. But one of them would like to be, he was a happy guy. He was a happy guy. I mean, think about it in the husband and wife situation. I love to see my wife happy. Amen? I mean, I spend my life trying to make her happy. If my wife is not happy, I don't look at it being an indication in her life. I look at it and say, what am I doing wrong? Amen? Y'all got awful quiet all of a sudden. I don't know. Guys, let me hear you say this. Guys, say, I love to see my wife happy. Say, I'm going to spend my life making my wife happy. Wives say, amen, amen. Yes, Lord. Woo! Somebody go, woo! Woo! I mean, just be happy. What's the big deal? Look at Psalms chapter 33. I'm going to close out unless you guys go eat in a minute. But Psalms 35. So I promised myself I'm going to talk health. Everybody say, body, you are well and beautiful. What? AJ said, call things that be not. Who was you looking at when you said that? Look, man, it don't take an ounce of faith to look at this beautiful thing right here. I mean, and call me. As I am, so will you become, brother. Hey. Love it now while you got it, brother. Let me. Your day will come. But anyway. No, that's a bad confession, isn't it? What? What I am is a bad confession? We're going to have a family argument right here. That's a bad confession? I got a bad confession? What? Make it come back. Lord, I'm trying, Sheila. I just ain't found the right bottle yet, but anyway. I can get it a different color, okay, but you know the other part. Psalms 35, verse 27. Make it come back, Charlie. Have you found it? You can. We're working on it. Psalms 35, verse 27. Third thing. Remember now, I promised myself, I'm going to talk health, I'm going to talk happiness, and prosperity. Everybody say prosperity. Say it again, say prosperity. To all those folks that I don't believe in prosperity preaching, everybody say prosperity. Say, I love prosperity. Say, I live in prosperity. I want everybody to have prosperity. Amen. It's not a bad word. It's a very good word. Amen. I like it. prosperous. Psalms 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy. Remember? Talk health, talk happiness, talk prosperity. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God is absolutely happy to see you prosperous. He loves it when all your needs are met. He loves it when you got a great cash flow going through your life. He likes it. It's pleasurable to the Lord to see you be able not just to meet your needs, but to have an abundance. And with that abundance, you can meet the needs of other people and do a lot of good stuff for yourself as well. Amen? I mean, you look at everybody that God's dealt with in Scripture, you know, a lot of things always happen to them. There's a lot of blessings come in their life, but most people he deals with, according to purpose and calling, most of them he deals with, he makes them rich in the process. It's a strange thing. I mean, read about it. Read about it. People, what about old Job? He lost everything. No, read the rest of the book of Job. He got back seven times more than he ever had. I mean, and that was just a lesson to all of us to see that, you know, when difficulties and challenges and things come into our lives and hard times come, that God can take those and he can turn them for our good. He can bring some good stuff into our life. I mean, you know, why is it that the church sometimes has sort of majored on poverty? We sing, oh, Lord help us. There's a song many years ago, you know, don't get mad if this is your song. I hope it's not. These shoes that I'm wearing, you know, they're not new. Another thing they kept saying, clothes on my back. That's all I've got because I just got a few. I mean, and then at the end of that, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I'd hear that song and I'd say, what blessings are you talking about? I hadn't heard you mention one blessing the whole song. Now, you know, hey, if I didn't have a stitch of clothes or a dollar bill in my pocket or a way to come or go, I still love God. I do. I do, and I'd serve him and do serve him and have and through thick and thin and good and bad and everything you want to say, absolutely. But I've found this out, that when you start walking and living with God and serving him, he takes care of all your needs. Amen. He does, and I thank him for it. Not only that, he gives you an abundance in life. He gives you lots of things in your life. He just blesses you in so many ways. How do you think I'd feel? If my wife or my children said, you know what, that I'm supposed to be the provider for our home and I haven't provided for them, how would I feel? I'd feel bad. If they said, you know what, I have to make do with this, make do with that, and stretch it, and all this kind of stuff we had to do, this kind of stuff, I'd feel bad about those things. Now, if they did those things and those difficult times came in our life and as a family and we pulled together and stood and we did what we needed to do to make things work out, sure, that's a good part of life. If any of us go through that, that's good to have a family that sits together. But I don't want to live at that place. I don't want to live down on, you know what, Just Get By Avenue, on Grumble Alley. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to live down there, Just Get Along, Barely Make It Street. I don't want to be there. And God doesn't want you to be there. God wants to meet your needs. And whatever needs that you have in life, God wants to supply them. And not only that, God wants to give you an abundance. Life shouldn't be about. I know some of us sometimes it's hard to get past this point, but work should not be about just making a living. It shouldn't. We should be far above just making a living. I mean, the government will do some things like that, just barely get us by on some assistance and those kind of things. But we should be far, far out from that. And so don't let people, when they talk about stuff like this, I've heard people say it. I've heard people say it to me. They say, well, are you one of them prosperity preachers? I say, yeah. Yes, amen. I am. I'm one of them prosperity preachers. I'm one of them love preachers. I'm one of them healing preachers. I'm one of those faith preachers. If it's good, I'm going to preach it. I really am. I really am. I believe in that. I believe in it with my whole heart. Well, you need to start saying it. So in this life, when you're meeting people, say, well, I don't know what we're going to do around here. Things are really looking bad. It's really looking tough. I mean, all the money's drying up. All the jobs going overseas. The factory's shut down. This is happening. That's happening. And people begin to say all that kind of stuff. They can catch you right in that, pull you right in the midst of that. Things hard to. Well, you know what? I won't deny some things that are happening, those things that have happened in our past, those kind of, not going to deny that. But you know, in the midst of that, God's opened up some new avenues, some new directions, some new ways. In the midst of that, God's blessing is coming through. And you know what? All that is just subject to change anyway. And if we can get some people in minds and hearts and spirits in America turn another direction, turn another way, all of us, if we can do that, we could see prosperity, you know, cover this entire land. America was built by people who wanted to come here and be prosperous. And now it seems like sometimes people are trying to drive out the prosperous people. No, this place was built for prosperity. The system of government that we have and the function of this economy, if you let it work and operate as it was built in the first place, it will produce prosperity in America. And you and I can be part of it. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, don't be talking down and out. Everything's going down. It's going to be rough now. All this kind of stuff. Don't have that language about you. Everybody say this. Say, I promise to myself to talk health, happiness, and prosperity to every person I meet. Say one more time. Say, I promise to myself to talk health and happiness and prosperity to every person I meet. Not going to give up. Not going to quit. Not going to stop. Because the adversary tries to lift his head. Because believe it or not, I think all of God's children deserve the right to be healthy and to be happy and to be prosperous. Amen? That's part of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil rob you and don't let him steal that from you. Amen? Make a decree and a decision in your life. You're going to walk in the fullness that God has available for his children. Amen? Stand up with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you, Lord, and we give you praise and thanksgiving. We honor you, Lord, for what you have done. And Father God, in this world, all of us face these temptations of this life that come against our mind, our heart, our spirit, our words, our action, our deeds, that try to just suck us in to the things of the world, Father God. Draw us in a way that's going down and negative. And Lord God, a way that is far beyond the blessings you have for us. God, let us walk away from that. Let us resist it with all that was in us, Lord. And let us walk toward your health, your happiness, your prosperity in our life. You died to give us so much, Lord. Father, we truly appreciate it, Father. We honor you and thank you for the blessings you've given. And Father God, we just covenant you to walk in the blessing. Everybody say this. Say, I promise myself that I'm going to talk health, happiness, and prosperity in Jesus' name. Say this. Say, that means that I am healthy, I am whole, I am well, I am happy, I am joyful, I'm having a great time, my needs are met, money's coming to me on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, I give you all the praise, Lord God Almighty. Now somebody shout hallelujah and give the Lord a great big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God Almighty. God, for being so good to us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to prove that prosperity is coming your way. Because right now, every one of you gets a free meal in Jesus' name.